there would be a little voice box on my tombstone that would throughout the day, maybe the other
motion detected.
Yeah, man,
that's if anyone that steps too close to the grave.
Yes. That kind of thing.
As they walk away. As
do what
I'm
now?
Doing this, Greg.
Do what now? That's just like, imagine the creepiness of walking by a grave and it just going, do what now?
That kind of thing.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
You all ready? Are we recording?
Yep, we're rolling.
Okay. Oh, I didn't even realize. Okay, I could not be more excited than I am because our special guest is... That's right. Is there a drum roll? Maybe there's a drum roll. Our special guest is Professor Toenail. And it's
I don't know how I feel about this guy joining us. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Okay, well, Yeti and I are excited enough for all three of us.
The thing I am excited about is this guy seems like a character. Yeti sent me some YouTube clips. This guy's up in the wee hours of the night frying nails.
Yes,
You know,
all for us.
So I'm excited to talk to him, actually.
It's going to be good. He's a professor in North Carolina. We're going to introduce him and all that later, but I just want to whet the appetite because toenails will be discussed at length by an expert, by a guy who has deep fried them and consumed them and can talk to us about how they taste and blah, 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 et cetera, and so forth. But
I love when we do things that I'm pretty sure have never been done before on a podcast, and which is tough to do in this day and age.
It is.
You know, a few weeks ago, we did our top five scary movies on Halloween. Like, that is one that has been done a lot.
Yes, that's true.
Not a lot of people are doing this.
That's correct. Professor Toenail.
What a day for this guy's YouTube channel. I mean, this guy is about to soar.
Well, sorry, yes. He only has this one video available to the public because all the rest are for his class. So he keeps him private. So this is his one video.
Right, but that's right. Soar. He teaches toenail anatomy or something like that. I don't know exactly what he teaches, but he does it well.
Do we have the loser game show shown here? No? Okay.
And we'll get to him later. Soccer is starting the World Cup in Qatar.
Let's all go around the room and say what soccer means to us.
No, that's not. That's too hacky.
Can we hold hands while we do it?
Yeah, that's hackneyed. Hacky sack. Hackneyed. And we're not going to do that.
I'm excited about the World Cup, Dad. I think people feel how you want about soccer, folks. This is a chance to fake it for a month. You don't need to be a diehard soccer fan and like a Premier League watcher. Like, I know soccer can be pretentious. If you're just a casual sports fan, if you just like sports, come on in. The water's warm. Root for this team. Watch the games. This is just a cool little 1 month in. You get out. You don't have to come back for another 2 years. I know soccer. Like, you're gonna have a couple 1-0 games. I'm sorry. Okay, soccer doesn't mean it personally. So don't take it personally. Okay, it's a great game. Enjoy soccer this month. That's how I feel. And
I would agree.
Yeah, and me and you, Dad. Some of my best sports memories are like thinking back to that World Cup, the Ghana goal, and like being in a bar and beer being like, it's just a fun sport to get into, and the World Cup's the way to do it.
It's an experience, and I agree, and I would go back even further to when you were 5 or 6 years old and soccer was your entree into sports, and I was your coach, and it was just a blast. And you know, you grew up with soccer in a way that I didn't. You know, back in my day when I was a young boy, everybody played Little League baseball, but soccer was almost unheard of as a youth sport. And so things have completely changed. But to your point, you don't have to be Chris Whittingham. You don't have to be an expert and pronounce Premier League Premier.
Right.
Like he does. You know, you can be a casual. You can not even appreciate soccer, not even know soccer, and get into the World Cup just for the magnitude of
it. Just fake it and put a USA shirt on. Chant USA. Just walk into a bar. If you walk into a bar before a USA soccer game and just start screaming USA at the top of your lungs, everyone's going to join in.
That's correct. Hey, 4 years ago, when we were in a super crowded bar watching a World Cup match, a US match, correct me if I'm wrong. I may be daydreaming this, but we were recognized by a few people. And somebody started a Let's Go States chant, which thrilled me.
Yeah, I mean, a chant might be putting it a little much, but okay. I believe like because some guy from another table was like, Let's Go States!
Yes, because anybody can do a USA chant. I mean, that's like, you know, anybody can do that. But not everybody can go, Let's Go States!
Actually, let's challenge the Greg Cody Show audience to wherever you're, because there's got to be some of these people that are watching these games. Wherever, whatever bar, whatever house you're at watching these games, if you guys are getting a Let's Go States chant going, record it on video, tweet at us, and we'll share it on social. Let's go States. Let's get that going.
That's a great idea. Yeah, so send it to us on Twitter. Tag us in it. Tag us on Instagram, because who knows where Twitter's going to be. Let's go States.
Let's go States.
That's right. And written, by the way, it's go with five O's. And it's not pronounced goo. It's not Let's Go State. It's go, but it looks like it's goo. Because it's got five O's, not four, not six. Let's go States. Damn right. Okay.
Was that enough soccer talk for you, Dad?
It wasn't enough for me because,
if you're listening to this on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, then I could be pissed right now because we might have lost game one. But I might also be happy because we might have won game one. So I don't know how I feel. It's hard to know at this point.
Well, you and I will be somewhere watching that game. The U.S. plays Wales. It's exciting because the U.S. is the, I think I misspoke on Stu Gatz's podcast when we were talking about the World Cup. And I said the U.S. was the youngest team of the 32.
I thought they are.
They're actually technically the second youngest team, but still.
Who's
their
youngest?
Average age is 25. I don't know who's youngest. Brain beat me. But
good correction then.
I like to be accurate. I'm a professional journalist over here.
How about me getting the fact that Iran has a good defense, right?
You did.
Yeah, this is obscure to people that haven't listened to that. On that podcast, I made this weird proclamation that, you know, nobody parks the bus like Iran. And it turns out I was right. Like, they gave up less than a goal a game during qualifying. And like, yeah, they parked the bus.
Yeah, I had no idea that park the bus was an idiom that meant good defense. Like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. Parking the bus. Right.
I mean, we already did this.
Okay. Not on my show. We didn't. We didn't do it on. I'm recycling.
Now might be a good time to talk about some of the expanded fame you've been getting over your how you discipline your dog. First, how's Jumping Charlie been doing his first week back?
He's a monster. My parents, when you talk to my parents about this, they say all the right things, but you could just see the look in their face. It was a waste of money, and Charlie's still a monster.
No. I have
my mom. Mom says a lot of keywords like it's tough, you know, it's hard to. And then my dad's like, he's doing a lot of jazz hands.
Charlie has turned over a new leaf.
Here we go.
No, I am so proud of my dog.
Really?
Yes, Charlie has done great. He's had, a couple of little accidents in the house, but he's doing much better about pooping and peeing where he should.
What about jumping when people come over? Because that's the big one for like my family.
He is 80% better.
Okay.
And noticeably better. And you know what he's taught himself to do? He's taught himself. He knows that he has energy to spend when he sees somebody come in the house that he knows and loves. But instead of jumping, what he does is he runs, gets a toy, puts a toy in his mouth, and just runs a lap around the house to expend that energy. And by the time he comes back, he's out of the jumping phase.
Jack.
I'm very impressed. All right. You know, he's Thanksgiving is going to be the big challenge.
But you mentioned that, Yeti kind of introed this by saying that Bay, the way you Bay,
right?
It's kind of a taking over the world.
We hope so. It's great.
I think it was heard this week on, was it Cinephobe or was it Cinephile?
Yeah, so this sound comes to us from the latest episode of Cinephobe, courtesy of Cinephobe, via my friend Jeanette at JHer on Twitter.
Bad Boys 2, directed by Michael Bay.
Bay.
I didn't expect that.
Have either of you ever heard Amin laugh like that?
No, that's great. Thank you, Amin.
I've been listening to Amin for years. Never ever heard that. But they kept going. We'll play one more.
Iconic slow-mo shot of a helicopter going over the Miami sign.
Over the Miami sign.
A Michael Bay staple. It's always a plane or a helicopter in slow-mo.
Bay vision. Bay.
I love it, Greg.
I mean, when you're talking, when you're doing a cinephobe episode on a Michael Bay movie, you're going to just get a lot of bays.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. It's like required by law. But
I was confused by that intro. Is Jeanette a producer for cinephobe?
No, she's just my friend.
Oh, she showed us that.
Yeah,
that
she clip. Sent me that clip. So it's courtesy of cinephobe via my friend Jeanette.
Oh, okay, that's why I was like, is Jeanette? Because I know Jeanette on Twitter. I didn't know if she- I thought she was producing cinephobe for a second.
Not yet. You never know. She's going to supplant. She's going to go after Anthony Mays.
Well, thank you, Jeanette, and thank you, cinephobe, for doing that. Because I have to say, I'm a little proud. I'm a little proud of. Bay. I think it has a chance to be the single best syllable that I have ever spoken. It really does. And I, I hope that's not hyperbole. But
is that what's going to end up on your tombstone?
Bay.
And salt.
You know what would be great, though? It has to have a pronunciation. There would be a little voice box on my tombstone that would, throughout the day, maybe the other...
Motion detected.
Yeah. Man,
that's if anyone that... steps too close to the grave,
yes.
Bay.
That kind of thing.
As they walk away. As...
Do what
I'm
now?
Doing this, Greg.
Do what now? That's just like, imagine the creepiness of walking by a grave and it just going, do what now?
That kind of thing. You're walking through a graveyard at midnight and all of a sudden you walk past a tombstone and you hear, bah.
Or good old fashioned.
Brad. That'd be a little creepy.
Yes. We need that.
Do we have the Greg Cody soundboard on his tombstone.
We need to get a bunch of sounds in the can of my dad doing, like, we need that kind of thing. You never know. So once dad, so this podcast can live on once you're not here anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, let's not get that far ahead of ourselves. And hopefully that is far ahead of ourselves.
Hey, we got some promotions coming up.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Put it on the back end, too. But one... If you haven't bought your tickets to Moss Miami,
yeah,
go. I've seen the toenail. I'll just say that right here. You hear us talk about it later. I've seen the toenail. It's something you can't unsee.
Yeah.
So come by and be scarred forever.
And it's,
buy
and
your
it's,
tickets at mosslebitard.com December 10th, Moss Miami at Wynwood Marketplace.
And it's your last chance to see it because my dad will be consuming it about like a couple weeks after because he's losing a bet.
Yeah, Professor Toenail did not really come through with a recipe, which disappointed me. But otherwise, the interview is just the most surreal conversation I've ever had.
Spoiler alert.
Also, though, I want everyone to mark their calendars. You all have been so good at supporting the show. But I know not every one of you has either bought something or, if you have, you haven't bought everything that we have. So this Friday...
Buy everything.
That's right. This Friday, Black Friday, our biggest sale of the year. 35% off everything. Friday only. Friday, November 25th. But if you like options, the entire next week, Cyber Week, starting November 28th, that Monday, ending Sunday the 4th, to December 4th, 15% off everything and free shipping.
Nice.
That's a damn fine sale.
You gotta go
both of those.
You got to do that 35% off, though, that Friday. That's the play.
35% off on Friday, and the following week starts a whole week of 15% off and free standard shipping. What a great way to get yourself some Greg Cody Show merchandise for yourself or those you love or those you hate for the holiday season.
Yes. I also want to say that anyone who shows up at Moss Miami on December 10th wearing any of our Greg Cody Show merchandise, something special will happen to you. I can't guarantee.
I was going to say, don't make any promises you can't keep.
Yeah, I'm not making any promises. You know,
you'll be touched in a very special way.
Yeah, what the hell?
It's you will be lavished with praise by us, and maybe you'll get a couple of free decals. You know, I'll throw a decal at you. You'll miss it. It'll hit you in the eye. You'll sue me. It'll turn into a really ugly scene, but you'll look great in your shirt. You will look fantastic. Dad joke of the week.
Wow, what a sad promotion.
Why? What do you mean?
Wear a Greg Cody Show shirt to Moss Miami, and I might give you a decal.
Yeah, a couple of them. Seriously.
Oh, three decals in that case.
I ordered another 1,000 decals, and I have no idea why.
1,000?
Yeah, so I got to get rid of them. I gotta get rid of them.
All right, granted, we sell these things on our website, but oh well, that's okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm giving them away for free because I'm in a good mood.
You're gonna be making it rain at Moss Miami.
That's right.
I'm waiting for that.
What did the Detective Duck try to do?
Quack the case.
Correct.
Oh yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Okay, I just happened to have another one, but this one also may be a little bit obvious. What kind of car does Mickey Mouse's wife drive?
A Mini Cooper.
And Christopher, what did you say?
I said a Mini Coop.
Okay. The answer is a minivan. Now, Mini Cooper is probably even a better answer.
No, minivan's funny.
Minivan's funny. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
Can I do three facts of the week? Because I think the last time...
Are they going to be as riveting as those just were?
I think it's going to... Yeah.
Are you going to fax the facts to Santa Claus?
Jack, good callback.
This is going to be great. This is going to be great. It really is. Are you ready? These are things... I've been roaming the earth a long time. These are things that I did not know until this week. And maybe you don't know them. What was the first vehicle Lamborghini produced, the famous car company?
A Lamborghini.
Technically, that would be the right answer.
Wasn't it a tractor?
It was a tractor.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Love Yeti just knowing my dad's like interesting facts.
I know. I was amazed because I think of Lamborghini as the sleek race car, sexy, internationally known race car. And the first vehicle they made was a farm tractor, which I thought was great.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
That's right. Exactly. What is the only transcontinental city in the world? The only city where part of it is in one continent and part of it is in another continent.
All right. Either somewhere in Europe or down from Central America to South America.
Just get it, Yeti, because it'd be funny if you got both of these.
Oh, you have to answer quickly or else I will suspect you of Googling it while we're stammering here.
Panama City? I don't know.
The correct answer is Istanbul, Turkey. Okay. And our third fact is this. Where is, in approximate speed, where is the fastest roller coaster in the world? And approximately what speed does it reach?
Dubai.
It's got to be in Dubai. I think it used to be the Alpengeist at Busch Gardens used to be the tallest drop, but that was 25 years ago. So I don't know yet. It's got to be in Dubai.
Okay, it's Abu Dhabi in United Arab Emirates. So, same neighborhood. It reaches a top speed of 149 miles an hour.
That's a lot faster than I would have guessed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I don't need that in my life.
But don't you top it off at 150? You know, just to say you go 150. I mean, who stops at 149?
That is weird.
Why did your weed dealer stop at 19?
Wow, good recall on that one. You're right. It was like a
great
sale.
Great callback.
Every time you're over there, it was a sale.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. That kind of thing. I can't wait any longer. I need to. Oh, we didn't do our goal calls yet. I want to do, speaking of the World Cup, I want to do, who knows who Andres Cantor is?
Dad, I love that you think you're going to be able to come close with the win that you have and how often you cough. You think that we have a long goal call. There's some guy being like, goal! See, I wasn't even tired there. It could go for a lot longer.
Okay, well, you better because if you want to, I heard a goal call of his, and I don't think this is a personal record of his, but it was almost 13 seconds. It was like 12.7 seconds.
Do we have it?
Yes, I've got the audio, and I'm going to time it as we play it. Here we go.
Oh, good.
Andres Cantor. Somewhere around 13 seconds because I got the timer off.
That's funny because Kenny G has talked about how he's able to do like he has like the record for like the longest note because he's able to keep a note going while like breathing essentially.
It's called circular breathing.
Yeah, circular breathing where he's like the sound is still coming out and he's able to catch his breath somehow.
Yeah, you can almost do this indefinitely.
Oh, because Yeti's like breathe. Wow, he's doing it right now. So Yeti could definitely just keep doing that.
Yeti is literally farting. You think he's making that noise with his mouth? He's not. That's what's so disgusting to imagine being in a room with that. Christ. All right.
Do you think that's going on there with the goal call, Yeti?
I doubt it. I really, 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 really doubt it.
So are we going to compete here? Why don't we all start at the same time and see who goes the longest?
We could always do that.
We can do that at the end. I would rather each go individually and time it.
Okay.
Okay, who's the official timer?
Yeti.
Yeti, you want to begin?
I will. Sure. Now, Andres says it always depends on where, like how much energy he's at while he's calling the game. But here we go.
Hold on. I don't want no funny business
here. Second judge.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get the timer out here too. All right, here we go.
Ready?
Go! walk. What an asshole. All
right. Yeah.
All right. I hope you pass out like Greg Cody. All right, enough. You're okay. Fired.
Woo, 1 minute.
Wow. Woo. Did you obviously circular breathed there. Right?
I don't know how to do that while singing. I've never looked up to see if anyone can do it while singing.
Did you just like break a world record?
I doubt it.
Dude, I'm going to do like 8 seconds. God, I'm not following that. Dad, you go next.
Yeah, I don't think we should have to do it now. That's ridiculous.
Yeti, why would you go first?
I know.
Greg asked me if I would.
I mean, please.
All right, here we go. I'm going.
All right.
This is going to be really embarrassing after that. Go!
That's 22.4 seconds.
Wow.
I love how we're going backwards. My dad's about to do 4.5 seconds.
I'll do 4 seconds and I'll cough.
Chris, you time this one while I look up the rest.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Dad, please don't pass out.
Go!
Wow, me and Dad, I think we like tied.
22 something.
Wow.
He was right around the same as yours, Chris.
Okay. We're still shamed by
Yeti. Yeti did 5 times that length. Wow. Oh, no, 3 times. I was thinking it was 100. Yeah.
So the longest continuous vocal note is 2 minutes and 1.7 seconds. So he doubled me up, I guess.
Wow. How did you do that, Yeti?
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, I sing. Like, I have lung capacity. Plus, I've never smoked or anything that would hurt my lung capacity.
But it felt like you were doing something. Like, it's like you kind of like you were doing it. Like, you would go lower. Like, it felt like
you don't let it all out at once. You got it. Like you go. And my volume didn't really change, but I am holding back on the breath, too. In other words, I could have gone louder. I would have ran out of breath sooner, but I was still going loud. And I held it fairly consistent. And then I just decided to change pitch and start singing gold just because, you know, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a professional singer and therefore you are disqualified. You are disqualified from this contest. And the official
is my dad lower all of a sudden?
Between Christopher and I. What?
Dad, what happened to your mic? Like, you're lower all of a sudden.
The lower? I'm eating. If I were any closer to the microphone, I'd be eating it.
Okay, you sound lower all of a sudden, but we're about to toss this interview, so it doesn't really matter.
You're damn right we are, and the most exciting interview we have ever done in the history of this podcast, coming right up. David, let's get started. You are a professor at Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington, right? North Carolina?
That's right. Wilmington, North Carolina, of the three Wilmingtons. That's right. They have to say North Carolina.
Okay. And you teach what exactly?
I teach anatomy and physiology 1 and 2, which are the learn the body courses for people who are going to try to be getting into nursing school and dental hygiene school and surgical technology and that sort of thing. So they're not in their professional program yet. And we all, myself and the students, try to learn everything we can about the body, its, you know, structure and its function so that they can, you know, do a good job.
Okay. And the body, of course, includes its most vital part, the toenail. Am I right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I want to make it clear. You're the one who made the bet.
Yes.
And you're the one who thinks you don't have to pay off on the bet when you are so dialed in with ESPN from even recently. Then how are you going to lose this bet?
I don't intend to lose this bet.
Somebody from ESPN is going to come over and make sure they appear just to make you eat your toe.
Okay, yep. That's a possibility.
Well, that's the thing. No, they'd make sure that Tony Kornheiser doesn't appear, which would make Greg have to eat the toe. Because that's the thing is that, see, Kornheiser and Dan Le Batard are good friends and have been for a long time. And he's only made like two appearances on the Le Batard show over like a 15-year period. So Chris, Greg's son, our executive producer, really feels that there's no way Kornheiser is going to make time for the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody. Greg thinks he's got the in because anytime Tony the K needs something for Miami sports, he calls Greg Cody.
That's right.
And so that's where the basis of the bet came in, is that by the end of the year, can we get Kornheiser on this show? And if we do, Chris has to sleep outside because he refuses to touch the toenail.
Right.
But Greg agreed. I told the story about you and your toenail.
Yes.
And Greg thinks that's great. That's much better stakes for a bet, higher stakes than sleeping outside. And so here we are.
Totally.
You two have great radio voices, even though we're on a podcast. I guess I'm calling it radio. But I'll say there is an historical precedent I found for you. Precedent. There's a movie called Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe from 1980. So Werner, a film producer, bet his friend who was making his first movie he would never finish that movie. And he bet he would eat his shoe if the man finished the movie. The man finished the movie. It's kind of famous. And a restaurant in California boiled Werner Herzog's leather boots for 5 hours with some rosemary so that he could take a few bites of it. And they made a movie about that.
Oh, my God.
So don't make food bets you can't swallow, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Boiled leather with rosemary actually sounds pretty good. I love rosemary.
Here's the next bet.
Particularly on a steak. Okay. So... this is strange. David, I want to tell you why and how my toenail became a matter of public record. On the Le Batard show, I forget how it came up that, you know, my father used to have toenails that he referred to as seashells because they were just big and thick, you know, and in his later years when he needed help, I used to cut his toenails for him. Long story short, I inherited my father's toenails, so I have big, giant, great toenails, my big toe. One of them developed a fungus, I don't know how, turned black and fell off on its own.
Oh.
And that's the toenail that maybe will be deep fried and eaten, but it is black. And, you know, if I end up eating this toenail, I feel like I need to boil it first just to sort of, you know, detox it. Like how should I handle that?
Well, it turns out that if you put the recipe, you know, 375 degrees, which is, you know, just fried chicken temperature, and that's going to sterilize anything in there.
Ah, very good.
So if you want to pre-boil it, I've tried pre-boiling things to make them puff bigger, and they don't get bigger if you pre-boil them.
Okay. So but they will get bigger, though.
Yes. But according to the water content, they may get really big or kind of just a little bit big. It kind of varies with each nail. I've gotten good and bad results off the same foot sometimes.
All right. So this has been a multiple time thing, because when my wife told me the story, I've always assumed for 4 years that it was a one time thing. Can you tell us how you got into this? Like what made you decide, I want to try this out one day?
Well, my personal ethic is you should try to do things the wrong way just to see what happens.
I like it.
I mean, that's just how things get invented. I mean, the forward pass, someone had to be the first one to do that, right?
Right.
Or the Fosbury flop, he had to invent that way of jumping. So I try to do things wrong to see if they will work. And so I was looking at those little cubes, you know, that look like, you know, dark red Scrabble tiles that puff up really well to make the, you know, the pigskin flake. And I thought that looks a lot like, you know, like a toenail. Like you said, yours looks like a something. My gosh, I don't know what it looks like.
You referred to it as a Martian helmet of a toenail.
Looks like it's part of a Lego set, probably.
Well, David, I want to compliment you because when you referred to my toenail, my late great toenail, as the Martian helmet of toenails,
it is.
I thought that was the greatest compliment ever paid a toenail. Ever.
Why,
thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you. Thank you back.
Yeah. No, that was great. So so tell the layman, because we're not scientists, what is the same between a pork rind and a human toenail that allows them both to puff up and be edible?
Best I can tell, you know, your hair is made out of filaments of cells that are made out of keratin, you know, and your outer skin is made out of flattened cells called keratin, and your toenails are made out of bigger slabs of flattened out cells that are full of keratin. So it occurred to me that the outside of a thick pig skin is structurally a whole lot like a toenail, you know, just like a huge stack of flat cells full of keratin. So I thought if the pig skin puffs, then maybe the toenail will puff. So I grew my own nails for about 18 months just to see, to get a big one, and threw it in the hot fat, and the things puffed up pretty well on the first try.
Wow.
Now, I'm going back to the story Jane told me. Your own toenail was not necessarily your first option, right? Didn't you try to try a couple other things first, or try to obtain them?
Oh, I tried so hard. It turns out, as Greg has mentioned, that some people get these with age, with his father's age, for example, they get these great big, you know, seashell toenails. And I tried to score me some of those, to use the drug lingo.
Where did you go to try to score some of those?
And so I went down to the various, you know, the various nail shops. They're in every mall. There's a bunch of, you know, nice ladies who are like taking care of nails. And as you said, older people who maybe can't bend over or have dizzy problems, they really can't cut their own nails. And if they don't have family like you, God bless you, to do that, they have to have like a home health care nurse come by and cut them. So I approached a couple of home health care nurses I knew. I went to several nail shops. I said, illegal for us to give you any body parts.
Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't know that.
Well, then one day I'm driving down the road. It's about 5 a.m. I see a recently run over deer. So I stopped by the side of the road and I cut off his feet, figuring, you know, a hook with a toenail.
What?
And I got him home and I shook the toenail off of the hook. It looked a lot like yours, sir.
Okay. Thank you, I think.
And I proposed it to my cat. They were not us. Turns out, scientifically, they have too much sulfur in them and they won't let go. But humans have what they call softer nails and not too much sulfur, and they will let go and puff up some.
Wow. Okay. So
that's all I know about that.
So never eat a deer toenail.
Now, to get it scientific, isn't the sulfur bond what keeps hair from puffing up as well?
Absolutely. Hair has an awful lot of sulfur bonds. That's right. So I do know one species of hoof that might have soft sulfur bonds that maybe I could, you know, take the foreleg off these animals when they die and put them in the hot fat and just make a great big puff daddy on the end of their on the end of a stick. And now all of them would start saying, I think I want me one of those.
So, you know, yeah. Okay.
We're along with
So you have eaten your own toenail.
Oh, yes. But people chew their nails and they end up swallowing them, don't they?
I don't know.
That's a good perspective on it.
I've never been a nail chewer. So in a minute, I want to go through the process of deep frying one's own toenail. But tell me, how did it taste?
Here's the funny thing. Even though I cook them usually instead of pork skins, they taste just like a puffed up pork skin.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
They're a little crunchier according to the day that you get them, you know, which nail you happen to use. I had people at my college sending me their nails, you know, in the mail.
Right.
One lady, especially her pinky nails would grow like an inch a week. And so I've been, you know, just experimenting, trying to get the optimum recipe.
Okay. And like, I'm a big fan of Cajun spice. Would that strikes me as something that would really work.
That would work really perfectly. It sure would.
If you batter the nail, do you put it in flour and egg, or?
See, that's a good one. I've never tried that. But then you would get the puffiness of, you know, the batter. And I don't know what would happen to the core nail inside of that.
Mm.
I don't know. But I know you're trying to make it more palatable, perhaps. But they do taste pretty good. And I know you think if you take a nail that big and you just start trying to chew it, it's going to break a tooth or get lodged right in your vocal cord and end your career. You know?
Yeah.
But so far, everything I've ever tried in the nail department from humans has puffed well enough that they just sort of disintegrate in the mouth. And it's just, you know, like a corn chip or something. Somewhere
okay
between and a pork skin. But so I don't really know what's going to happen to you or something that massively big.
Right.
But it might puff up the best of all.
Okay. So put me in your kitchen. As the oil is coming up to 375, you were doing what with your toe? Like, you're seasoning it? What are you doing to it?
No, I have washed my feet. I've stood on a towel and I put my feet up on the edge of the stove, point the camera down, you know. Toenail clippers aren't nearly big enough.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You have big old scissors and just like cut across, you know, and get the whole thing. So I'm just cutting off the nail fresh.
Wow.
And then when the temperature's right, I just throw it in there. You have only like 10 seconds frying.
Yes.
It'll be easy. Here's the thing. It smells, well, it smells like pork skins have cooked, but some reason it has a clean smell. My house still smells like fried toenail right now.
David, I want to congratulate you. I believe you were the first human being in history to say the phrase, my house still smells like fried toenails. I don't think that's ever been said before by anybody, under any circumstance, anywhere, anytime.
Did you see the text message that I got sent about the picture of the toenail? It read like a CIA document.
Oh yeah, yeah. I kind of made him sign an NDA because
an NDA for your toenail.
Well, it's because we're marketing this thing at an event at Moss Miami, December 10th at Wynwood Marketplace. Get your tickets, everybody, at mosslevitard.com.
There you go. So, David, what else have you eaten of a toenail-like nature besides toenails?
Well, I've tried hair of all sorts, including red hair. That doesn't puff up. I've tried feathers because it occurred to me if a feather would just puff up, it would be just so much fun to cook one, right? Because feathers are keratin. Okay. Everything I can buy, I've tried alligator claws when I bought at the little gift shop down here at Alligator Adventure. Anything that happens to be keratin, I've tried and it hasn't worked.
Wow. Why is that?
So far, I don't know. I just think everything is tied together with a tighter keratin, a tighter, nails and claws than what humans have. So humans are the weak species. That's why our nails split all the time,
Yeah.
Where you just wash your hair and you have a long nail, it'll just split on you. Just talk to the ladies who try to have long nails, split all the time. But if a cat or a dog had a nail that split, their claw, they'd be ruined. So they have a stronger sulfur bond, and we just don't have very many. So we're kind of decrepit, which is why we puff up.
Okay.
Now, a second ago, you talked about frying hair, all sorts of hair, and you specified red hair. Our executive producer, Chris, and Greg's wife, and my wife all have red hair. What would the difference be, or was you just bringing that up for fun?
I know that just from people using hot oil treatments and things like that, I knew that, blonde and brunette hair wouldn't work. I thought, well, maybe red hair, just no one's ever tried it.
Gotcha.
I'm just trying anything I could think of. And what a pork skin looks like.
Yeah.
A fish's air bladder, the big counterbalancing air filled sac inside of a big fish.
Sure.
It's called the air sac or the air bladder or the swim bladder.
Yeah.
Those things buff up like mad. You can get them in the Asian grocery stores. They're like a foot and a half long and 8 inches across. Look like a huge piece of pork skin. So somebody had to throw that in the hot fat and decide, wait, this thing just puffed up. So you never know. That's why it's called Will It Puff? You don't know until you try.
Now, if I end up losing this bet and having to eat my great toenail.
Yes, sir.
A couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we were discussing this and Christopher just was disgusted by the very nature, but just by the fact that I might be eating my own toenail. He couldn't even talk about it. He was so disgusted. He practically convulsed on the air. What would you say to people who are disgusted by this very notion, who have never eaten a toenail themselves, but are just repulsed by the idea? What would you say to them?
In other words, 99% of our audience right now.
That's right. That's exactly right.
This is a common thing. And I sympathize with people who say, I just couldn't stand to eat that. For example, in our culture, we eat, baby chickens are called eggs, right?
Yes.
And nobody says, oh, you're eating a chicken embryo, technically. But right. Then in some cultures, they let the chicken get to about day 16 of a 21-day gestation. And it's kind of like a soft fetal chicken, and they cook and eat those. So it's all according to the culture that you're in, what you get used to. That's all.
That's a very good...
Where people want to deliver.
Yeah. And my late grandmother, Nellie Doogie, used to eat heart. I forget what animal's heart it was, but she would eat heart. And as a kid growing up in 1440, I used to eat pickled pig's feet, which you would pick one out of a big jar. Right, exactly. And they were pickled so much they were almost red, but you would eat them at the time. And you're right. Like, why is that any more palatable than a toenail?
Well, just for example, you've eaten every piece of a pig or a cow if you've ever had so much as bologna or a sausage, right?
Right.
Well, that's going to include all kinds of things I don't even want to mention right here.
Mm.
I wouldn't mention this on a family show. You can cut this part out, right?
No. You can say it.
Yeah.
My wife grew up in Omaha, and she had neighbors and good friends that were from Iowa, that were farmers from Iowa originally. And he would tell her that hot dogs are just made up of pig's lips and assholes.
That's right. And if you have processed 50,000, animals a day, you have 50,000 hearts that have to be done something with, right?
Oh, wow.
You also have 50,000 uteruses. Now, have you ever bought uterus in the grocery store? But those get ground up and added to, whatever meat, just sausage, bologna, whatever. Mm. Well, wow. Everybody's eating uterus, but they don't want to think about it.
Because they don't want to know how the sausage is made.
But if you didn't have 50,000 uteruses piling up behind the meat plant every day and covered in flies, it'd be awful. So we have to eat things so that they don't infect the environment.
Right.
Anyone else in your community, any other professors or any other scientists that you've met that have tried this as well? Have you been able to get anybody else to try your toenails or their own?
Absolutely not. Therefore, Greg Cody is going to be the second person in the world.
Thank you. Yes.
And the first famous person.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Sounds like he's on Chris's side of this bet, Greg.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have to rename our shirts Naley's Diner.
Hey, you know, this almost makes me want to lose the bet. I haven't decided yet whether it does, but it almost makes me want to lose the bet. We're going to go on tour, David and I.
Thanksgiving's just around the corner. You're going to have the deep fryer out for your world famous turkey anyway.
That's true. I'm
trying to help you lose the bet gracefully. Wow. That if you took this huge toenail and you maybe just cut a corner off of it, so you had the great big piece and you have the smaller piece and you fry them at the same time, then you scoop them out. And, you know, the big piece might be so big it'll take longer to cook. I don't know. I've never had a piece that big.
Wow.
You know, you'll be like the biggest toenail eating person in the history of the world. So you take that smaller piece out and throw that in your mouth. It's going to crunch like mad. You know, you can probably, if you finish the video, you'll hear my molars crunching pretty well on those little bits of toenail I ate. And then you would just like throw it in there, chew it up for a while. And people say, yes, he ate his toenail. And you wouldn't have to eat the whole thing. Werner Herzog didn't eat his entire shoe.
Okay. No, if Greg loses it, his son will make him eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
The mob will cry for it. Now, what do you have a specific name for the snack. What do you call them?
Okay. This is my proudest moment. I'm sorry. But I was thinking, you know, you fried up a little snack, it kind of like a Cheeto, right? Kind of like a Frito. And I thought, well, it's a Torito.
Perfect.
So I think you could just about put those in a bag, you know, make a t-shirt, whatever you need to do.
Okay, get a patent on Torito, because when this podcast airs, somebody will,
someone will make a shirt out of it.
Yes. I mean, I'm looking forward to eating my toenail. This is a first. This is great. I'm so excited.
You're like Magellan, going where people have never gone before.
That's right. I feel, and it scares me a little that you say it's very crunchy. I'm a little worried about it being, it's not chewy. It's just hard, right?
It's not even that hard. It kind of like a saltine cracker. A little bit harder than a saltine cracker. It just it turns to dust between your molars. There's no problem with that at all.
Oh, beautiful.
It's not like you got to grind it, or it doesn't get bigger as you chew or something like that.
Now, I'm not necessarily a Weight Watcher, but does one have to worry about calories when consuming toenails? I'm just curious.
As far as I can figure out, that keratin doesn't have any accessible calories, no matter how big a piece that you ate. But there might be a little bit of oil soaked in.
Okay, a little bit of oil, like salmon. So this is a health food, really, is what you're calling it.
Yes, it is.
Look, pork rinds have a pretty high protein content versus fairly low calorie to protein ratio.
That's right. If you buy like your store-bought, you know, regular cheap pork rinds, they'll be like 50% is oil calories and 50% is protein, because the thing is all protein, you know.
Right. You cook it.
But if you get yourself the microwavable style pork rinds, which you can buy, you know, just like, you know, the chips in the bag and you put them in your microwave, they get 25 times as big. Those have about no oil. It's about a pure protein snack in case you're bodybuilding and just want to eat pure protein.
Now, there's various celebrity diets out there. What are they? The keto? What's that called? The keto diet? Is there any chance that the toenail diet could become like a thing, like a big major thing sweeping the nation in popularity?
Here's the problem. The problem, like drugs, is the supply. That you can't legally source enough toenails to keep you going.
We're going to have a toenail black market.
It'll be like ivory in Africa, you know, where it's illegal to sell elephant tusks. It'll be that way with toenails.
I figure one day at some factory, some poor fella fell into the giant hot fat fryer. When they pulled him out, he was one great big pork skin puff with his toenails puff, but nobody was paying attention at the time.
Wow.
I thought it was a sports show.
Very. Look, you covered the sports when you said someone had to invent the forward pass. There, sports, done.
That's right. Exactly. No, we're barely a sports show, believe me. And more so after this conversation with Professor Toenail, David Covington from Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington, North Carolina.
The Port City.
It has been a pleasure having you on. And I don't say that often about a guest, but then again, I've never had a guest before talking to me about toenails in a way that really made me impressed. This was great.
Well, I appreciate you're going boldly where people have not gone before. And you'll be
thank you for that.
You're the largest amount of toenail ever in the history of the world, and I admire you.
You know what? Yeti, make a note, get Guinness, get the Guinness Book of World Records at my...
For largest toenail consumed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we got to do that.
You might need to order that tombstone soon. I don't know what's
going to
happen.
He ate the world's largest toenail. I could live with that. Actually, I couldn't because I'm dead.
Well, look, now we do have to think about this, Greg, considering how Grandma Nellie died.
That's true. She died of eating raw pork. So at least I'm boiling my toenail. I'm being safe. After this conversation, I am almost literally wanting to lose this bet. Seriously.
Yeah, I want you to lose it too, because if you don't lose it and you have that toenail on display, what in the world's going to happen to your reputation, man?
It couldn't get any lower, believe me. It's rock bottom right now. So, but David, thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. Seriously.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank y'all. Glad to meet y'all.
Oh. Yeah, likewise.
Bye-bye.
You're just like basically like I can only make it work if the mic is right in front of me.
I have barely, I'm taking a Dolphin weekend off. I have barely watched football. So you lead the show here because I don't know who won other than the fact that I had the Indy over Philly upset. I had it. It was my upset of the week. It was a unique hit in PFPI. The Colts let me down.
I think it was relatively a boring slate of football this weekend. So we don't have to talk about any football, actually. All I want to talk, what?
Good.
What are you laughing at?
The Colts let me down.
They did. I want to talk about Professor Toenail because I haven't stopped thinking about that story of him cutting off a deer's foot. Like that's true. Like is that allowed?
Some things we don't ask questions about, Chris.
I mean, I have so many questions. I love how he justified eating toenails as, yeah, people bite their nails. It's like, yeah, doc, and then I spit them out. Like nobody pushed back on that. Like, yeah, it's a good point. I eat my. It's like, no, if I bite my nail, I spit it out.
I don't chew my nails, but I'm sure there are plenty of people that do, and I'm sure there's some that swallow them.
No,
that's what I was like, you know,
I'm a nail biter. Look at these tips. OK, I can speak to this. Never in my life have I purposely swallowed a nail.
I keep a clean fingernail. OK, I keep a clean fingernail. I'm not a nail biter. I'm a nail clipper.
Dad, you're the reason we're here with a fungus toenail.
I didn't say I keep a clean toenail. I said I keep a clean fingernail.
For the record, let the record reflect.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. If I'm in a stall sitting and all of a sudden too late, I discover there's no toilet paper and I have to wipe my ass with my bare hand. Yes.
Okay.
And we all.
No, you keep saying that as I'm not yes, you are the only one that credit cards their asshole.
I'm the only one honest enough to admit it. I got to think. But no, that was the Professor Toenail was great.
But great job by Yeti. Great job by Yeti's wife knowing that guy. Yeah. It's just good job by the whole, you know, Yeti clan.
No, I enjoyed that. And I thought, you know, it wasn't on the marquee of this podcast, but I thought our goal call, our Andres Cantor goal contest was really good. I enjoyed
that. Yeah, it was perfect timing, too, because my sister texted me this morning after I told her the story that we did goal calls, and Snapchat is doing a challenge right now to see who can have the longest goal call. Their record at the time was 42 seconds, and I'm like, that's child's play now.
Yeah, you got to get in there. Yeti, I think we've decided, I don't know if it was on air or off, that Yeti's going to try to break a world record. We're going to go for this.
Yeah. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Within 1 year... I'm going to attempt, we'll just mark it now to hold myself accountable. Within 1 year, I will attempt to break the world record for the longest continuous note held by a male. And this will start another competition between me and Andrew Streeter.
Yeah. He's probably already working on it. Yeti, are we allowed to reveal what the great idea you had for my dad via text, or do you want to keep that under wraps? Do you have so many good ideas that you don't remember which one I'm talking about?
Yes, that's totally it. The book signing.
Yeah.
I think we should. What if we did that at Moss? People could bring your dad books, and he.
Yeti had an idea of my dad doing a book signing and then just like kind of leaving it at that and not really telling people that he's not writing a book. Like, you can bring any book and my dad will just sign it.
It can be a Field and Stream from 1978. We don't care. It can be a magazine. I'll sign it.
This is such a great idea and so on brand for like us to like have a, like, I wonder if Barnes and Noble, to get people in their store, will let like random crappy celebrities do a book signing when they don't have a book to release.
That's the show challenge.
Like, if we could put 100 people in Barnes and Noble, why wouldn't they let us like market that we're having a book signing?
Why, indeed. I think you're onto something. I do. Great idea. I would love it if someone came up to me with a legit first edition collector's item book and I defaced it and devalued it by signing it.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Greg Cody.
That kind of thing.
Anyways, good episode. I think that's it. I mean, like, I don't think we're going to do much better than the Dr. Toenail. So.
I think it was a great episode. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends.
Big special Thanksgiving episode, Greg Cody Show, next week.
That's right.
What do you want to tell the audience what you're doing next week?
I don't, because I can't even remember what it was.
What did you spend like 3 hours yesterday?
Oh my gosh.
For the love of God.
Oh my God. Okay. No, this is exciting.
How can it be exciting when you just I had to remind you what it was?
I got so much on my plate. That's why I'm so fat. Listen, next week I am revealing my all-time top 25 favorite songs with a story behind each one. I may yodel a couple of the songs myself.
A short story behind each one. I don't think you're not really selling the episode.
Right. And I'm going to invite Yeti and Christopher to both give an abbreviated version so that my top 25 remains the star. But I'm going to invite them to both give an abbreviated version of their top 10 all-time songs.
Maybe five. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
But top 25 songs. I'm looking forward to it. I already have the list. I'm excited about it. And we're anxious for you to hear.
What does top 25 songs have to do with Thanksgiving?
Because sometimes when I listen to music, I'm also eating. And that's it. That's the only time.
Well, all right. Gobble, gobble. We'll see you next week.
The way to sell it is oftentimes on holiday weekends, radio stations, especially satellite radio stations, will do like top like 5,000 song countdowns. Like the Beatles station on Memorial Day weekend does the top like 100 Beatles songs. And I don't know why it changes every year. It's not like there's new stuff coming out, but they'll do something like that. So that's what we'll do. This is the Greg Cody Show holiday music countdown episode next Monday.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. But before then, remember this Friday, November 25th, 35% off of everything at shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Then the following week, Monday the 28th through Sunday, December 4th, 15% off and free standard shipping.
I just decided we're going to do another happy hour thing. If you send on Black Friday only, if you show us your screenshots, we will pick a handful of winners and do a happy hour Zoom with Greg Cody, me, Yeti, maybe special guests. We'll hang out with you guys for an hour. We'll talk. We'll shoot the shit. My dad always shows up hammered. It's great. So you have to show us on social.
The deadline will be by the time I wake up on Saturday.
Yes.
If I haven't got your screenshot, you're not in.
Yeah. We need to see a screenshot either on Instagram or on Twitter to the Greg Cody Show. Send it in. If you buy anything on Black Friday and show us, you have a chance to be on our Zoom happy hour.
Yes. Don't DM us. Tag us.
Yes. Tag us. Gobble, gobble, everyone.
Gobble, gobble.
Greg, what are you going to do for your Thanksgiving turkey this year?
I'm going to do what I always do. It's a family tradition. I deep fry it, baby.
Is Aunt Bonnie bringing a ham?
No, she is not. No.
What are you going to do after Thanksgiving with that turkey, Greg? You're going to carcass the key.
Oh, the carcass is the key. You're right. And I got two carcasses to work with, believe me. Carcass times two, double carcass. Let's go!
Brad.